Hall & Wilcox acknowledges the traditional custodians of the lands on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to all First Nations people joining us today.
Hello, and welcome to our Smarter Lawcast on business restructuring and being risk ready. In this episode, we're discussing some situations where a director can become personally liable for an amount equal to the company's outstanding tax debts. My name is David Dickens, and I'm a partner in Hall & Wilcox's dispute resolution practice, specialising in restructuring and insolvency. Today, I'm joined by Scott Butler, who is also a partner in Hall & Wilcox's dispute resolution practice, specialising in restructuring and insolvency. Scott has a lot of experience in guiding and assisting directors through situations where their businesses are under severe financial pressure. In particular, Scott has advised and is currently advising directors about their exposure to director penalties, which we'll be discussing today. Scott and I are members of Hall & Wilcox's restructuring and turnaround team, which focuses on assisting underperforming businesses to restructure their business affairs so that they can survive and thrive. Welcome, Scott.
Oh, thanks, David.
So today, we are talking about when a director can become personally liable for an amount equal to the company's outstanding tax debts under what is commonly known as the director penalty regime. It is really important that directors understand how the director penalty regime works, because where a director is a director of a company in financial difficulty and is undertaking steps to try and save the company and turn it around, the last thing they want is to be exposed to personal liability for the company's tax debts and on the hook for them if the restructure fails and the company can't pay the tax debts. Scott, what taxes may a director become liable for under the director penalty regime?
Oh, thanks, David. Well, in fact, a director can become liable for unpaid pay-as-you-go withholding amounts, GST, superannuation guarantee obligations, wine equalisation tax and luxury car tax. And wine equalisation tax, or WET tax as it's commonly known, and luxury car tax, as their name suggests, they're only specific to certain industries, and so I won't focus on them today, but I'll just stick to discussing PAYG, GST and super, as they're the ones that generally we see in these penalties, the cases that we act in. But I mean, clearly, if you're a director in the wine business or in the car business, you also need to be focused on making sure that your company's also meet their WET tax and luxury car tax obligations.
Thanks, Scott. And how does a director become liable for unpaid PAYG withholding amounts, GST or super guarantee charge amounts?
Well, what many directors don't know is that as soon as a company does not pay PAYG, GST or superannuation guarantee obligations on time, the directors become personally liable for a penalty equal to the unpaid amount. So technically, the director doesn't become liable for the company's unpaid amounts, but becomes liable for a penalty of the exactly same amount. And then if the company then pays the liability, including any penalties or interest for late payment, the director's penalty is removed by the amount paid by the company.
Thanks, Scott. So PAYG and GST are treated similarly, but super is a little different. Scott, can you explain the difference?
Yeah, sure. So for GST and PAYG, as I said, the director penalty arises if the company has not paid its GST and or PAYG when due. And the due date for payment, as most businesses will know, is when you lodge your relevant business activity statement, when that's due, which is generally quarterly or for small to medium enterprises, and can be monthly for larger companies. So that's the day when the penalty is incurred if those amounts aren't paid by the lodgement date. A lot of directors and even some of their advisors think that a director penalty only arises once the ATO has served a director's penalty notice, commonly referred to as a DPN. And when they serve that notice on the director setting out the director's penalty, but that's actually not correct. The notice is just a prerequisite for the ATO to take court proceedings against the director to recover the penalty. And even if the company hasn't paid the GST or the PAYG, but then lodges its business activity statement within 3 months after it was due, then when the ATO issues a director penalty notice, the director penalty notice will give the directors various options to take within 21 days of the date of the DPN. And those options will be, firstly, to have the company pay the GST or the PAYG debt. And of course, that may not be always something that the company is able to do. But also, there'll be the option to put the company into administration or a small business restructuring or liquidation. And if the director does that within the 21 days, which is how long you have to comply with a DPN, the director will no longer be liable for the penalty. However, if the company, and this is the kicker, if the company has not paid GST or PAYG and not reported it in an activity statement within 3 months of its due date for lodgement, then when the ATO issues a DPN, that DPN will not provide the director with any options other than to pay the penalty. So you won't have the option to put the company into administration or small business restructuring or liquidation. And these DPNs are referred to as lockdown DPNs.
Okay. So the key message for any director is that if your company cannot pay its GST or PAYG on time, it is very important that they still lodge their activity statements within 3 months of the due date.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the critical thing.
Mm. And Scott, you said superannuation was different. Can you explain how the director penalty regime operates in respect of super?
Yeah, no, sure. So a company has an obligation to pay super into employee super funds within 28 days after the end of each quarter. And that super payable is referred to as the super guarantee. And if a company fails to do that, then the company becomes liable to pay those amounts to the ATO instead, rather than into the employee's super accounts. And that is referred to as the superannuation guarantee charge, or the SGC. And as soon as the company becomes liable to the ATO for the SGC, the director has a corresponding personal penalty liability for the same amount, which then has an SGC liability because they haven't paid the superannuation guarantee into their employees' super funds on time, must then lodge an SGC statement by the 28th day of the month after the super guarantee was payable to the employees. And the SGC includes not only the amount which wasn't paid to the employees, but it includes an administrative fee of $20 per employee per quarter, and it includes interest at the rate of 10% per annum, which accrues until the company has lodged the SGC statement. If a company pays the super into the employees' super funds late, and that happens sometimes, they might pay, you know, a couple of days late or 7 days late, the company still has the SGC liability, which is owed to the ATO, but it will be reduced by the amount which has been paid to the employees. But the company still has to lodge an SGC statement and pay the balance of the SGC liability to the ATO. Now, unlike GST and PAYG, the company does not have another 3 months to lodge its SGC statement to avoid the director becoming liable for a lockdown penalty. So as soon as an SGC statement is not lodged by the due date, the director is no longer able to remove the penalty by putting the company into administration, small business restructuring, or liquidation.
And Scott, you mentioned that the ATO cannot sue a director for a director penalty unless they have issued a DPN. So for a non-lockdown DPN, the director can avoid the penalty by putting the company into administration, small business restructuring, or liquidation. But is there anything a director can do if they receive a lockdown DPN and the company is not able to pay the liability?
Yeah, there are some defences available to directors to DPNs, even lockdown DPNs. And they're actually quite similar to those available for directors to an insolvent trading claim. So the first is a director will not be liable if an illness or some other good reason meant it would have been unreasonable to expect the director to take part in the management of the company, and the director did not take part in the management of the company for the entire period, starting back when the company failed to comply with its PAYG superannuation guarantee or GST obligations, and then ending when a director's penalty notice is served and then expires, or when the company went into small business restructuring, administration or liquidation. That's a pretty tough test to satisfy, and directors rarely are able to. The second is a director will not be liable if they've taken all reasonable steps, or in fact there were no reasonable steps that could have been taken to ensure that the company complied with its PAYG superannuation guarantee and GST obligations, or put the company into small business restructuring, administration or liquidation. And again, that's a very tough test to meet. And that one also rarely succeeds, unfortunately, for directors. The third defence is very specific, and it only relates to SGC amounts. And essentially, sort of summarising it, the defence is if the director can prove when they paid super into the employee's super accounts, they thought that they were complying with their super guarantee obligations, and their argument is reasonably arguable. So in other words, it's designed to cover a situation where you have a company that was paying its super but miscalculated and you know, underpaid some super, and therefore there was technically a superannuation guarantee charge amount, but they were taking reasonable care at the time to try and calculate the amounts and pay what was due. So that's a very sort of quick snapshot of the defences, and there are certainly much more to them, and there were nuances and some other law, which we don't have time to go into today, unfortunately.
Thanks, Scott. There's clearly a lot of subtlety to this. So if a director receives a DPN, it sounds like it would pay to get some legal advice on whether these defences might apply and what could be done.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that's the key. Definitely get legal advice. Yeah.
Mm. And what about the use of garnishee notices by the ATO? I'm aware that the ATO has the power to issue a garnishee notice to recover director penalties.
Yes, that's actually something I think a lot of people forget or don't really understand. The ATO can issue a garnishee notice to a person who owes money to a director to recover a director's penalty, and they don't actually have to wait until they issue a DPN and it has expired, although they usually will, but they don't have to wait. And the ATO has internal guidelines around what they take into account when issuing a garnishee. So for example, if a director is earning a wage and they issue the garnishee notice to their employer, the ATO will usually not seek to garnishee more than about 30 cents in the dollar of the salary and wages payable. But they can actually, they have discretion to seek more in certain circumstances.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. And lastly, I wanted to ask you about the new ATO practice of issuing DPNs for SGC penalty liabilities many years after the company incurred the SGC liability and has since gone into administration or liquidation.
Yeah, thanks, David. This is, to me, probably the biggest development, I think, in directors' penalties that we've seen for a long time. So I'm acting for a director who just received lockdown DPNs for the first time for SGC liabilities relating to periods back in 2016 and 2017. So we're talking, you know, up to 8 years ago. And this is where the company has been in a voluntary administration and then liquidation since late 2017. And I'm aware through speaking with other liquidators, in fact, that they know of directors and who have received DPNs recently for periods going back up to 12 years. So 12 years in that circumstance, you know, the company involved had long since gone into liquidation and since been deregistered. And in our case, the DPNs cover periods where the directors did pay the super, but for some reason, the ATO doesn't seem to be aware of that, maybe because it's so long ago, and maybe they weren't getting, you know, the data from the super funds to confirm the payments were made. It also covers other periods where the date for payment of the SGC and lodgement of an SGC statement was after the company had already been put into administration, such that the directors are no longer, you know, in control of the company at the time, and so weren't able to cause the company to lodge the SGC statement. So it doesn't really make any sense. And there are really a number of things which I find very concerning about this. The first is how old these director penalty liabilities are and how long it's taken the ATO to issue the DPNs. This is, it's actually inconsistent with the relevant ATO practice law administration statement, which provides that where a director incurs a penalty, the commissioner will endeavour to issue a DPN in respect of that penalty as soon as practicable. After the penalty is incurred, that policy seems to have been abandoned in, you know, in this case, in relation to these very old debts. And in this case, the ATO had made assessments about the SGC owing way back in, well, in back in 2020 and 2021, but then only sent those notices of assessment to the liquidators because they send them to the company, and the company is controlled by the liquidators. So the directors never knew that those assessments had been made and never had the opportunity to object to them at the time. And so putting aside that I would have thought fairness would have dictated that the directors should have been notified of those assessments, particularly if the ATO was subsequently going to rely on the director penalties, even under their own policies, the ATO should have issued the DPNs as soon as practicable after it made the assessments in 2020 and 2021. So they've waited 4 years and 3 years respectively. The second thing that concerns me is some of the matters, as I said, claimed in the DPNs are in respective quarters where the super was paid. And the ATO seems to be completely unaware that that was the case and has the, and so it's, it appears like they're acting on incorrect data. And the third matter, which I think is concerning, is that they are claiming a director penalty in respective quarters where the company was put into administration before the SGC liability was due for payment or reporting. And it seems to me that the system which is producing these the DPNs is not linked in and doesn't understand at what time a company was put into administration or liquidation. And to be honest, there seems to be some parallels between what's happening now with these DPNs and what happened with RoboDebt. Effectively, they're sending out these DPNs for very old SGC liabilities based on incorrect data, and these can be for very big amounts. And I don't want to over-dramatise things, but directors who've been through company liquidations have often been through a fair bit of trauma. It often means losing their livelihoods, their reputations, and sometimes it leads to relationship breakdowns and so forth. And now they're receiving DPNs at a time when they have just managed to get through all that and get their lives back on track and, potentially back to some sort of normality. And I do have serious concerns about what actions some directors with fragile mental health will take when they receive these DPNs out of the blue many years later. To be frank, I wouldn't be surprised if in a few years' time we're facing another RoboDebt style Royal Commission into the issuing of these DPNs.
It's very interesting. Thanks, Scott, for all of those insights. It's quite some sobering thoughts there, and clearly director penalties can be a very serious matter for directors, and it's one of those areas where, while directors are generally not personally responsible for a company's debts, director's penalties are certainly a big exception to that rule. If I had to choose only one thing that listeners should take away from today's discussion, it would be: even if a company can't pay its GST, PAYG, SGC, WET or LCT on time, it is critical that the company must lodge its activity and SGC statements on time to avoid director penalties from being locked out. Thanks everyone for listening today. As always, please get in touch with us if you have any questions. You can find our details on our website, which is hallandwilcox.com.au, or connect with us on LinkedIn. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please rate, review, or follow our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you very much.
This podcast is not legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances.